This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Uplifting, informing, empowering. Joy 94.9.
Good evening, I'm Ruby Susan and welcome to The Informer. Tonight I'm joined by David Gale as we continue The Informer's breakdown of the Melbourne electorates. Yesterday we heard the breakdown of Batman. Tonight our focus is on the key seat of Melbourne Ports. This marathon election campaign will draw to a close in just under 2 weeks, and while the end is in sight, that means July 2nd is rapidly approaching. The Informer tonight will be speaking to three of the eight candidates running for the federal seat of Melbourne Ports, including current ALP Member of Parliament Michael Danby, Greens candidate Steph Hodgins-May, and Henry von Dosa from the Australian Equality Party. The Melbourne Ports electorate is actually Victoria's smallest, covering an area of approximately 40 square kilometres around the north and northeastern shores of Port Phillip Bay. The suburbs include Albert Park, Balaclava, Caulfield, Caulfield East and Caulfield North, part of Elstonwick, Elwood, Middle Park, Port Melbourne, Ripponlea, St Kilda, St Kilda East, St Kilda West, South Bank, South Melbourne and parts of South Yarra and Docklands. It has been held by the Labor Party since just past Federation and by the current member for 18 years. Melbourne Ports has become more middle class in recent years with accelerating inner city gentrification and high density housing development.
Tonight we have Michael Danby, the sitting member, on the line right now. Hello, Michael.
How are you?
Look, it's great to have you on the line. Very hard to get sitting members onto the line, but we really appreciate your time. I just thought I'd mention, Michael, that I'm actually a resident of Melbourne Ports and I'll be voting in the upcoming election on July the 2nd. And I was wondering, why should I be voting for you?
I think I'm an experienced local, very fierce representative of the area, whether it's at national level, at international level, or at the local level. I don't think there'd be a person who'd be a more active person on the issues of, Ackland Street or the London Hotel down in Port Melbourne, or the demise of our beautiful Fitzroy Street, if you're looking at the local level. But on the national level, I think I'm one of the people who convinced Bill Shorten to reintroduce the idea of marriage equality in Parliament, and I think with a Joy audience, I'm particularly strong on that issue. I really think what Bill said in his appearance on Q&A the other day was correct. We can't afford now to have this plebiscite after what happened in Orlando and what's happened in Britain. The Parliament should decide on this. We've got the numbers both in the Labor Party at the moment and in the Liberal Party, and we should have a vote on it.
Now, I notice you have had a record on GLBT issues in the past, certainly to do with changes to superannuation and certainly living in the area of being a bit of a gayborhood. I know that Ruby's laughing at my term, right, gayborhood, but nevertheless, you have been very active in the area. But 18 years is a long time, Michael. What if I'm looking for a fresh perspective or for somebody that's going to represent me in a different way? I mean, the electorate is changing quite a lot, isn't it?
It is. It's always been a cosmopolitan neighbourhood, St Kilda and Elwood. People can look for an alternative, but I don't think you'll find anyone as able to represent all of the various interests, has as cosmopolitan interests and represents this area as strongly as I do. Now, in public transport, in animal welfare, in marriage equality, in representing people on human rights issues, whether it's in North Korea or Tibet, Mr. Danby is still very active and very passionate. You can ask my friend, His Honour Mr. Justice Kirby, about that. Or you can ask David McCarthy, who's sort of a bit of an icon of mine in the LGBTIQ community, who has educated me through all of these years, he and Taz. I'm sure they're people quite well known to the Joy audience. And I think I follow their intelligent lead on issues of interest to that particular audience that you appeal to so strongly and so well.
Look, I mentioned before that the electorate is changing, certainly with more apartments. It was an ALP stronghold because of the docks, because of factories, because of people that worked and lived around the area. And that has changed a lot. I believe, as far as I can remember, the last election, you were actually elected in on preferences, and that was the reason that you were returned as the incumbent member. Do you think it's going to be a close call this time?
It's going to be an equally close call. Melbourne Ports is the wealthiest by per capita income Labor-held seat in Australia. A lot of the Green preferences that we were elected on are from people who are former Labor voters who are alienated with us on some particular issues. Sometimes it's been asylum seekers in the past. But a lot of them know very much what they're doing when they give me their second preferences. So, you know, they want to send a bit of a message, a bit of a protest to Labor, but they know Mr. Danby is a person who's opposed to the Grand Prix and takes it right up to the state government on this issue. They know on all of the issues of interest to them, you know, from the international on Tibet through to the local, that, you know, I am local. I'm very interested. I fight for the sort of underprivileged in our electorate, and I'm not as predictable and as bland as some of the people you get, quite understandably, in outer suburban seats. You know, we're a bit of a weird community. From Caulfield to Port Melbourne.
Well, with that many gays, how can you not be? Now, I was going to ask, so it has been mentioned in a few articles I've been reading, including by the ABC, that the Labor has been able to hold on to this seat because of Greens preferencing Labor. Now, There was a bit of an incident both earlier at the end of last year and quite a week or so ago, where it was found out that you were actually handing out your own how-to-vote cards that were preferencing the Greens last. Now, this was after the National Labor Executive made a special ruling so that the Greens would be put above the Liberals, Owen Guest. I'm interested in knowing, do you feel the National Labor Executive has ruled unwisely or wrongly?
Well, you know, there are a lot of seats where there have been some questioning of it by local candidates. I will not tell people in Melbourne Ports that they can't vote for the Labor Party because of some order of preferences that someone in some office in Canberra has suggested.
What do you mean they can't vote for the Labor Party based on preferences?
I want people to vote one Labor.
Of course,
and,
no, I understand.
There are many people who won't do that if they're forced to give the Greens a higher preference. So there's the official card that people are welcome to vote for, but a very large part of the Labor vote, and I want this to be very clearly understood by the Greens in particular, will not vote. I could twist their arms. I could put out a million how-to-vote cards. They will not vote for the Greens because I tell them to. The Greens have boycotted a public forum for the Australian Jewish community, and you should see on the polling booths the dislike that those people have about being boycotted by a Greens candidate who's not local, who's just come into the area in the last few months, who's on Senator Di Natale's staff and should have participated as a matter of free speech in this public forum. It's an insult, and I don't expect that part of my community to follow any dictates about preferences to the Greens. They will not preference the Greens, but they will vote Labor.
Okay, so
they're the kind of people I support.
Sorry, Ruby, we're running out of time. Michael, so you're basically saying, as an elector in Melbourne Ports, I should vote for you first and then choose my own preferences afterwards.
Absolutely. Everyone's a free citizen in Australia. That's one of our benefits of our democracy. My aim as a Labor member and a Labor candidate and a person who's passionate about Melbourne Ports, who thinks that the Labor Party will represent it the best and who thinks Bill Shorten will be a great Prime Minister of Australia. I've known him since he was a teenager. Vote Labor 1 and make your own decisions about preferences afterwards.
Thanks very much for joining
Thank
us tonight,
so
Michael. And we hope to catch up with you after the election to talk about the wash-up.
I'd be pleased to, because I really, really want to see if we can avoid getting a plebiscite on this, not because I'm afraid of the result, but because I remember what happens with referendums on issues like the Republic.
We're going to do the same thing. We're going to tie it up for now. Thank you once again, Michael Danby,
all the best,
member
guys.
For
Thanks.
Melbourne
Keep
Ports.
Keep up the good work that you do with that station.
Thank you very
really
much.
Important.
We will. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to The Informer. We're still talking about the key seat of Melbourne Ports and have just spoken to the sitting member from the ALP. We're now joined by Greens candidate Steph Hodgins-May. Thank you so much for joining us, Steph.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, you're running for this, you're running with the Greens, is that correct?
That's right. I'm the federal Greens candidate.
Fantastic. Now, is this your first time running for the seat?
It is my first time running for the seat, but contrary to what Mr. Danby has just said, I have lived in Port Melbourne and St Kilda for years, so I certainly haven't just blown in the last few months like he is claiming.
So does that mean you're one of my neighbours?
Yeah, I'm in St Kilda now, but I previously lived in Port Melbourne.
Okay, so. Now, Stephanie, I was talking to you before. Sorry, Steph. I was talking to you before. You've got to tell me why I've got to vote for you, because I'm swinging at the moment. I live in Port Melbourne and, I haven't chosen who to vote for yet.
Well, I think one of the things you touched on before is that we have had the same member for nearly 20 years, and I'm out door knocking every weekend and in the evenings, and people are telling me that they're just not seeing things done locally, that the only time that they see the current member is at early voting and on election day. So that's one aspect, but I think the Greens have got a really exciting vision for Melbourne Ports and more broadly. We've got a plan to transition to the new economy and to deal with incredibly dangerous global warming, which is one of the reasons that I joined the party.
You could probably say that about any sitting member. I work in the electorate of Higgins. I haven't seen the sitting member, Kelly O'Dwyer, once. I've seen certainly the Green candidate, Jason, out every day or every weekend, certainly in front of where I work. So you could say that about any person that is running and wants to take a seat. I'm sure that Michael is doing a lot of good work as well.
I haven't heard much about that good work, and I don't know if it's accurate to say that you could say that about every member. I've worked in the CBD of Melbourne, and I know that Adam Bandt is an incredibly active local member amongst the community and meets with all various organisations and is very present and responsive to constituents. And I think that is one of the core things that the public expect from their local representative, is that they're going to represent them on local issues and stand up for them in the parliament on the things that they believe in, such as marriage equality, which is another area that Michael Danby has not voted for.
Certainly.
Marriage equality. So
Certainly.
That's a huge part of our constituency.
Also, having if I cast a vote for the ALP, I'm actually casting a vote for a party that could form government. Is that going to happen with the Greens?
There's a high likelihood of a power-sharing agreement such as that was in place in 2010 when the Greens, with the Labor government, achieved some world-class climate package laws. Unfortunately, they've been repealed by a very conservative Abbott Turnbull government. But no, there certainly is a possibility of us having a power share agreement. So definitely not a reason to write us off.
When you are in one of the in a seat that does have such a vibrant queer community, are you able to maybe can you predict what might happen if we do go to a plebiscite? What kind of things we may be seeing around? I, for example, have been hearing that since both yes and no campaigns can be government funded, that means posters, that means things that children can see, that means things that families can see, that means things that teenagers who are dealing with their own stuff about who they are and that can see. Now, we do have a statement from the Libs representative saying he would, of course, vote for marriage equality, but we are hearing from Turnbull that the plebiscite is what has been agreed by the party. Could you explain to us what the Greens' stance is on the plebiscite?
We've got deep, long-held concerns over this proposed plebiscite for the reasons you've just outlined. It just provides a platform for prejudice. And why do we have a government and why do we have elected representatives if they're not going to make decisions on our behalf? And we see over and over again that the public want marriage equality. They want to end the discrimination in these laws. So why are they sending this to a plebiscite? And the thought that also the economic costs of such a thing, and to think that it's going to provide a platform for bigotry, I think is really quite appalling. So the Greens oppose the plebiscite. We believe that it should be a free vote, and we'll be very strident in our views on that.
Yeah, look, I mean, you're preaching to the converted, certainly in the studio, and probably to most of our listeners as well. Look, I've received some statements from a couple of the other candidates in Melbourne Ports. We have Greg Chipp, who is for the Drug Law Reform Party. He stated that we're a single-issue party, but as you know, drug issues disproportionately affect the GLBTIQ community, and at the end of the day is another form of discrimination. They aren't distributing preferences, by the way, so you can choose your own if you decide to vote for the Drug Law Reform Party. Also, Robert Smith or Smythe from from the Animal Liberation Party or Animal Rights Party, they say that they don't have any specific GLBTI policies. Their core values do revolve around kindness and compassion, which, as you would expect, means we're extremely sympathetic to and supportive of the GLBTI community. Also, I received a very late, it took a while to get a statement from Owen Guest. Now, he is the Liberal candidate in Melbourne Ports. He said, "I'm very sorry that I'm unable to join you this evening on Joy 94.9. It's me who is missing out. For the record, I say the following. I look forward to any opportunity on voting for marriage equality and thoroughly endorse a change to the Marriage Act to be expanded to include same-sex couples. If elected, I will encourage my colleagues to adopt a similar stance regarding marriage equality. Have a great show." Which is great. I mean, that's great lip service to our community. Look, at the same time, we are joined in the studio tonight with Henry von Dusser. Hello, Henry.
Hello there.
And you're from the Australian Equality Party, which Correct. Represents, tell me.
Yep, so we represent the GLBTIQ community in Victoria and, you know, federally with our leader, Jason Tuazong-Michini, who we're trying to hope to get into the Senate. And, yeah, the party's come about because we know we need an independent voice federally to really champion the issues for GLBTIQ people, which are vast. Obviously, marriage equality is our key platform, but for GLBTIQ people, equality doesn't end with marriage equality. There's much more on our 22 policy platform statements. So, yeah, we've got a lot that we think we can really move forward with.
Well, exactly, because with marriage equality, the fight still isn't over. Yep. At the same time, why would I put you in number one position on my ballot paper?
Well, we've put the Greens second on ours because we really believe in, you know, so much of what they believe in. There's a lot of common values, and they've, as just listening to Steph, you know, she's got a really good perspective on GLBTIQ concerns and doesn't support the plebiscite as we don't. But we also know that we will be... You know, we're not. We don't expect to be governing, but we'll have Jason in. You know, federally, keeping an eye on these issues in a way that there are a lot of issues. So he'll be keeping an eye on those in a way that, you know, the other parties can't keep their eye so consistently on. You know, young people, aging, thinking about families and adoption. You know, there's a vast number of issues that.
There is a lot on the agenda. Look, is Jason running in the Victorian Senate?
So Jason's running in the Senate, yeah.
So that's something that we should be looking for on our tickets as well. So
yep.
If I voted for you, I know that my preferences are going to Steph, which yep. means that, well, I mean, it is a marginal seat, isn't it, as far as we can see?
I think the lead now is 3.6% to Labor, so it is an extremely slim lead.
And that was the last result.
That's the polling at the moment.
So basically, if you're a voter in Melbourne Ports, it's similar to Higgins and a number of other, Batman and a couple of other seats.
It's a battleground. I think we're seeing a lot of battlegrounds with this election, a lot that neither major party really expected to have to fight for, which has been, honestly, I think the more you have to fight, the better you do. So I think if they have to fight for our vote, they tend to be doing things that are better for us as a country and as a population, especially for the LGBTI community, as we do now have quite a loud voice and with organisations such as the Australian Equality, which provides information on where every sitting MP and where every candidate stands on marriage equality for the major parties, which is really important information to have before you vote.
Just speaking about preferences too, Steph, I noticed that Owen has put you at almost the bottom of his ticket. There was one of the independents that he put at the very bottom. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, look, I won't say it's come as a surprise. I think that what we're seeing is the two major parties in Melbourne Ports, both very conservative. We've got Michael Danby, who's a right faction man in the Labor Party, mm-hmm. and Owen Guest, who's clearly part of the Abbott Turnbull government. So I'm not surprised. Yeah, they're feeling threatened by a strong third contender, and that I think is a really good thing because it shows that if people in Melbourne Ports want a progressive voice, the option really is Green, and it's great to see that we've got some other progressive candidates like Henry standing. And I think it sends a really strong message to these the major parties that people are ready for change if they do vote outside. And I will just say that as recently as today, Mr. Danby's still handing out how-to-vote cards that preference the Liberal Party. He is selective in who he hands them to, generally older people and from different cultural backgrounds. And it certainly is in contradiction to what a national agreement that we have with the Labor Party is, that they'll preference us and we'll put them in second place.
So it's a specific ruling about your seat that was made at the beginning of this year.
So he has gone rogue. He has gone rogue in Melbourne Ports. And so, as I've said, if you want a progressive option, you've got the Greens, and we're certainly in it to win it.
Okay. Henry, just quickly, you'll be attending the Marriage Equality rally this weekend?
Yep, I sure will be. And we're also organising a forum for the candidates in Melbourne Ports on marriage equality. So that'll be next Tuesday night, the 28th, at 7 o'clock. The venue is still to be announced, but we'll have a page up on the equality.org website.
So I can do a link on our podcast. Yep.
And are all major parties will be speaking at the forum?
We're still finalising who'll be there, but we hope so, that we'll have everybody involved in that. And it'll be one chance. There hasn't been a debate specifically on marriage equality, so it'll be an opportunity for the people in Melbourne Ports to actually find out what people's views are, but also more broadly. Obviously, there's a huge appetite for marriage equality. You know, 72% of people think that it's time to make this change. It's an embarrassment that it hasn't happened, and, you know, it's time to move forward with it.
Just briefly, Henry, I'm going to remind you to renew your Joy 94.9 membership. Yes. And, Steph, I'll be talking to you about getting membership up as well. Look, we've been talking with Henry von Dusser from the Australian Equality Party, Steph Hodgins-May from the Greens, and also the sitting member, Michael Danby, all from Melbourne Ports. Coming up next, we'll be talking to, we'll be listening to Will Stroud from Attitude magazine, and we'll be hearing all the latest goss from the UK.
To get the latest news from what's happening in the UK, we chat to Attitude magazine's web editor, Will Stroud. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, James. Nice to speak to you, as always.
And you. Very big news that has been announced over the last 5 days, Will, especially to do with your magazine, sporting a royal on the front.
Yes, absolutely. This is the great news that we're incredibly proud of, that His Royal Highness, the Duke of Cambridge, a.k.a. Prince William, to most of us, appears on the latest cover of Attitude. Huge deal. First member of the British royal family to appear on the cover of an LGBT publication. Met us to talk about bullying and mental health in young LGBT people, which is, a cause that both William and Kate have been championing a lot over the last couple of years. A huge sort of a historic moment. Of obviously Attitude and also the royal family in terms of the message it's done.
Do you think it's got anything to do with the fact that Harry's been really popular with the gays for quite a while now, and Will just need to do something to get ahead?
Well, I mean, I think that was absolutely, we're going to have Harry in the pipeline, like the obvious next step, centrefold to come, watch this space.
Is it kind of out of character for them to be so forefront in LGBTI rights?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is, like I say, for sort of first member of the British Royal on the cover of a gay publication. And it's been something that's always kind of bubbled away in the background in terms of the Queen. Obviously, sort of, while a constitutional monarch, the royal family doesn't get involved in sort of issues that are sort of deemed to be political in nature. So while obviously, being gay is probably not something that seems political in nature to a lot of us, obviously an issue like that is not something that's ever really sort of often been addressed by the royals and the Queen in particular. And so this really, has been a sort of historic moment for Prince William, sort of a new generation of royals, very popular both at home and abroad, to sort of appear on the cover of a gay magazine, sort of saying that people shouldn't be bullied for their sexuality, listening to the experiences of 9 LGBT people that came and spoke to him about, whether it's bullying or self-harm or their own experiences. And by all accounts, found William incredibly understanding and receptive. So, and obviously the message it sends out to the rest of the world and the Commonwealth, which, he'll one day be ahead of in countries that, where homosexuality is still illegal, is sort of, the importance of it can't really be sort of understated in terms of the message it sends.
Well, I think the majority of Commonwealth countries actually have quite horrendous crimes towards LGBT people.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I mean, the sort of the coverage of this, sort of Prince William on the cover of a gay magazine, has gone around the world, and, you know, whether it's sort of news organizations in Kenya covering it, but sort of it has had that reach of taking it to places where, you know, still violence committed by, you know, people and the state is committed against gay people sort of every single day.
I think I remember a comedian actually stating, or someone stating, that the Queen was quite proud to be signing the marriage equality bill when that came through. So perhaps they're not as old-fashioned as people might think they are.
No, no, well, absolutely. And, yeah, obviously with a new generation of royals coming through, hopefully, you know, these kinds of stands for LGBT equality are something that's going to happen in the future.
Well, wonderful. Let's see what you can do to get Harry on the front cover next time, hey?
Absolutely. The campaign starts here. Hope William puts in a good word.
Fantastic. And just before we leave, what's Liam Gallagher done this time?
well, this is Liam Gallagher, obviously of British rock sort of icon status, Oasis, tweeting last week, using some not very pleasant language on Twitter, just 2 days after, obviously, last week's tragic events in Orlando, talking about Russian football hooligans at the Euros, which are happening at the moment in Europe, the big football tournament, calling them batty boys, and that because of their skinheads, they'd probably rather pinch his ass than beat anyone up.
Oh, my God. It doesn't even make any sense.
No, I mean, and it certainly wasn't using levels of punctuation that I would deem acceptable, whether on Twitter or otherwise. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, in the wake of Orlando, using that kind of language went down absolutely horribly, you know, even with fans. And he has actually since apologized, deleted the tweets, and, you know, just did get a lot of abuse, not least for using the term batty boy in the tweet, which someone did kindly point out was a sort of as dated a 90s reference as one of his music.
I haven't heard that in ages. Just like his music. I haven't heard the term batty boys for ages, and, you know, I think we should reclaim it. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Liam Gallagher deems it okay, the only thing to do is prize it away from him before he can carry on.
Will Stroud, web editor of Attitude magazine, live from London. Thank you for joining us this week.
No, thank you. Always a pleasure.
And thank you to today's guests. We had Michael Danby, Greens candidate Steph Hodgins-May, and Henry Vondrosa from the Australian Equality
Pretty
Party.
Pretty exciting show.
Extremely exciting. Having a sitting member on radio, very exciting stuff. Now, just to be to make sure we are fair and impartial, just to read, there are 8 candidates currently. Peter Hollard, an independent. Owen, a guest, is the Liberal. Henry Vondrosa from Marriage Equality. Michael Danby from the Australian Labor Party. John B. Myers, who's also running as an independent. Robin Million Smith from the Animal Justice Party. Steph, who speaks from the Greens, and Levy from the Drug Reform Party. Today's show is produced by Ruby Susan and David Gale.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.